this woman endured financial struggle from being homeless, enduring hunger, and she went on to become a successful lawyer. That is coming up next. Need a judgment-free zone when it comes to your financial life? Bienvenida to the Her Dinero Matters podcast, a bilingual podcast for today's Latina who typically thinks English but feels her Latina culture through and through. I am your host, Jen Hempel, and each week we have down-to-earth money conversations from people in La Comunidad Latina that will leave you with more confidence and inspiration to help you take control of your money. Lista? Let's do it. Buenos dias, buenas tardes, o buenas noches. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you are listening to this. This is Jen Hempel, your host. Today, I've got another fantastic guest for you. And we are continuing to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month, even though naturally on this podcast, we are celebrating it throughout the year. Let me share with you a little bit about today's guest. Gidget Benitez is the creator and producer of Afro Latina. You see what she did there? A podcast dedicated to sharing tips for success to Black and Latina women interested in becoming lawyers. She is a first generation attorney and Afro Latina herself and a Marvel Universe fan. In this episode, you're going to learn the financial struggle she grew up with that included being homeless for a bit. She endured hunger. She really endured a lot, and you're going to learn all about that. You're also going to learn about the wake-up call she had starting college, which had her learning new to her money skills, like doing a budget, learning what taxes were, how to open up an account, and so forth. As well, you're going to learn what being an Afro-Latina means to her. ¿Lista? You ready? Vamos a conocer this reina of her money. Let's go meet this queen of her money. Bienvenida, Gidget. I'm excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, we connected recently. I love what you are about. You're a lawyer. You inspire and empower Afro-Latinas or Afro-Law. And I see what you did there. Yes. With that. Latinas. So I'm excited to dig in and really get to know you. So let's get started with your money story. You ready?
Yeah.
Awesome. So tell us, Gidget, tell us a little bit about how you grew up around money, what you saw, what you experienced.
Yeah. So I will say right off the bat, I was raised by a single mom, and education was always a really big factor for her, like a very big focus. And that was always what it was. But aside from that, you know, I always say she did the best she could. Aside from that, I really didn't get a whole lot of financial literacy education. I didn't know much of anything, but I did know that, like, we struggled. I constantly heard her, you know, kind of be sad about not being able to pay certain bills, and she would try to make light of it. And I realize now some of the jokes that she would make when I was a kid, I'm older and I'm like, wow, that she did the best she could, but that's not really great, like, financial advice. Like, one of the things she would say is, well, I don't know how I'm going to pay the light bill, but, you know, is it the light bill or is it food? And I think from a perspective of, you know, she's raising a child on her own, she was like, well, I got to feed my child and I'll figure out the rest later. And she would try to make me laugh. She would say, like, oh, we're going down in style. Like, we're going to order pizza with our, like, last $20. And I'm an adult now. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, I don't know how she did it. But just from that perspective, we constantly struggled to pay the bills. I never knew anything about credit cards. I saw catalogs as a kid. I didn't know how those worked, but I knew, like, you could order things and they would appear at the front door. Like, you know, it was just kind of stuff like that. And then I knew, financially speaking, like, there was definitely a lack of information on how to get settled or even save money, because when I was in high school, you know, we were homeless. We lost our apartment. And for a period of maybe 2.5-3 weeks, we were without a home. Again, she really did the best she could. But as an adult now, I'm just like, wow, I really lack that information. And I'm making an active effort to teach myself that. So it is definitely a struggle. It's a struggle, you know, if you're dealing with, like, you don't have all the certificates you need to ask for that pay raise, or you're a single mom, or you're just trying to survive. And it was rough.
I can imagine. And you took us back to catalogs. I hadn't heard that in so long.
Yeah, I used to see them all the time.
And people do, I mean, some stores do send their catalogs to buy their clothing, but you just order online. So it's a different process than before.
Yeah, it's, I definitely don't see them that much anymore, but I don't remember the name. I'm sure, like, Sears, and that's to show you how far we've come, right? Because Sears is, like, obliterated. The They're gone.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And then you mentioned you were, with your mom, you were homeless. And you said, how long was that?
That was like 2.5, almost 3 weeks.
Okay.
It was a very short period. And I'm not, you know, belittling my own experience. And I'm certainly not making it bigger than what it is. I know there are some out there who have dealt with it for a far longer period of time. But it was 2.5 to 3 weeks. And it was really scary. I will say that, again, education was always a really big focus for her. For her, that was kind of like the way out. And she always says to this day, she's like, I want you to go further than I did. Mm. And that was our way out, so to speak. So I never missed a day of school. She was working. She had a temporary job. Gosh, what do they call it? The staffing agencies. She had a temporary job through, like, a staffing agency, and she would take 3 buses to get to that job every day. And I would take 2 buses to get to school. And so we'd, like, constantly were struggling and just making sure that we met those goals at least. But I have and will always have a personal point of view when people, you know, make comments about homeless people, whether they're older or younger or what, you know, whatever. I don't care what the situation is. You don't know that person's story. And a lot of people just looking at me today would never imagine, like, oh, you know, she has gone hungry, she has been homeless, she's done all this other stuff, and look at where she is today. So I always make a point to say that. Yes, this is financial literacy. Like, if you don't have the knowledge, you don't have the knowledge, and you don't know what you don't know. But at the same time, like, understand, a lot of times these situations happen not because of laziness or because, you know, the person doesn't want to work or anything. Sometimes you just don't know. You don't have that information of, like, well, how do you open a checking account? How do you save money? What's interest? So stuff like that.
Right. And each situation is just so different. How we process our own situation, personal situation, is different. There's so many factors and components in it that we can't really judge, you know, just because you were homeless. And let's say I was homeless, and maybe I was homeless for years. I mean, we can't be judging that, because the experience in itself and how we manage the experience and perceive it is so different, right? So
yeah.
I think I love that you bring that up. Now, with your mom, you mentioned that she joked around when it came time to choose from paying the electric bill to you all eating. Were there any other, because I call that a somewhat money conversation. So she was getting you kind of, because did she ask you, or she was just joking around?
She would joke around. And honestly, we never, like, to this day, I cannot recall ever having a conversation where she initiated it and was like, you know, this is what you should do with your money, or, you know, hey, like, put $5 aside. I think the most money conversation that she ever initiated with me was kind of in the form of wisdom, where, you know, I left for college, and she'd be like, hey, don't forget, always keep, like, $1 in quarters in your wallet, because you never know when you're going to need it. And that was kind of one of the pieces of advice when it came to money. But aside from that, it was nothing. I got my first piece of financial literacy advice from a mentor. And that was during the process of when I was applying to college. And she helped me open my first checking account. But even then, I really didn't know anything. And so I entered adulthood, you know, pursuing an education and thinking I'm going to pursue a particular career and everything. But I was living off of credit cards and working, you know, 2 to 3 part-time jobs in college. And then in law school, continuing to live off of credit cards and working where I could, because there are restrictions. You can't work during your first year of law school. And then for your second and third year, you're allowed to work, but it has to be, like, under 20 hours a week. And so that puts a lot of strain for someone who's a first generation graduate who's living off of loans and has to live off of credit cards until you can make it to graduation day and hope that you have a job that pays enough.
Wow. And I didn't realize, obviously, I didn't go to law school because I didn't realize that they had those restrictions. That is interesting. So what led you to studying law? Obviously, your mom really honed in on how critical education was, and you took that and ran with it because you didn't do just any career. You studied law. So what led you to doing that, to studying law?
So in a nutshell, I had the opportunity to do a study abroad program in college. And that also ties money into it too, because obviously study abroad programs, they cost money. And I wasn't sure how I was going to pay for it. So I worked extra shifts and I saved up and I paid towards the program. But it was a study abroad program in a different country. And we were studying criminal justice and the differences between that country's criminal justice system and the United States criminal justice system. And I walked away from that and I was like, wow, that's really interesting. How come we do that here and they do that over there? And it led me to have a conversation to say, well, there's so much happening in the United States. I wanted to have a real impact. I wanted to see like tangible change. And I always crack the joke. I say, you know, I majored in psychology, but I could never be like a therapist because if you don't listen to me after two or three times, we gonna have words. Like, if you would come and ask me the same question over and over and I tell you the same thing and I'm not gonna lead you wrong. Well, hell, at least in law, they'll pay you for it a little bit better. So I said, let me pursue this a little bit more. But I knew that I'd be able to have more tangible impact on the community and see a real change. So that's kind of what led me to it.
That's interesting. Another thing that you mentioned is that really the money lesson, or when you were being taught about money lesson, came from a mentor when you were applying for college. So this mentor taught you how to open a checking account. So what other eye-opening moments did you have? Because I'm sure you had more, especially when you started college, as you began college.
As I began college, I had never experienced this. I mean, I came from an apartment where like I went to school and then I came home after school and I went to work my little part-time job and I would go get my paycheck. And literally I was doing it to help my mom with the bill. So I would just take the money, cash it, and put it on the table. Like, here, mom, here, you know, I want to help with the bills. In college, it was my first time actually going out to hunt for a job. I didn't understand mobile banking. I didn't understand taxes. I didn't understand any of that. And I certainly didn't understand how to balance a budget. And I know college is expensive, but just a personal like struggle story. I was working two or three part-time jobs and balancing a full credit load every semester. And yet there were still moments where I like went hungry. And there was a moment where like I actually had to eat spoiled food. I think I had done like two shifts that day and I came home to my apartment and I was just trying to make a sandwich. And I didn't realize until I bit into the sandwich that the sandwich had mold on it. And I remember sitting there crying because I was just like, I am working so hard and I'm not out there shopping. I had a really good friend in college, like just kind of one of those friends where like their family kind of paid for everything. Mm-hmm. And it was such a contrast to my life. But I was sitting there going, I'm working so hard and I'm not asking anybody for anything. And I can't even really afford to get groceries. Like something is wrong with this situation. And I couldn't figure out what it was. I do understand that part of that was like, okay, well, I was paying rent on my own and I was paying for my cell phone and I got no help from my mom because she really couldn't afford to. But the other thing was I just had no idea how to budget. I had no idea how to save even $5 a month. Like I was just completely unaware. Now that I'm older, like I said, like I'm making a personal goal to fix that and I'm actively, you know, saving money and penny pinching, like, I don't care. I will make my lunch every day of the week. I mean, you just do what you got to do. But it was definitely an eye-opening moment then and just going along the journey of like, well, what's a savings account? I remember asking questions going, what's a bond? What's a CD that you get from a bank? Like, how do you buy stock? And no one can answer those questions at the time. not even mentors, because I just, they were like, oh, it's a thing you get from the bank. And I'm like, well, I don't, what does it do? You know, you hear all this stuff about like investing and stock market. And I'm like, well, how does that work? So yeah, I really didn't have a whole lot of information at that point.
And I'm glad you're bringing this up, because I think sometimes, I'm not saying just as women, but as human beings, we get to a point where we don't know what we don't know. Like, you didn't know about the taxes, or you didn't know about balancing a budget, mobile banking. And I think sometimes when we find out, okay, we don't know about this, like the mobile banking or the balancing a budget, it puts us in a sort of paralysis, because maybe we see others that do. And what I'm saying here is that you, as a very intelligent woman, obviously, all this stuff, you didn't know these things, and that's okay. And for you, that are the person that is listening to this very moment, I want you to pay attention to that, because I want you to know and realize that there are some things that you don't know. And just because you don't know ABC about money, it's okay. The time to start knowing is right now. And I don't want you to feel guilty about it just because maybe it took you to adulthood to find out about this. It's okay. We all go through different journeys, experiences. And there's things that, you know, looking back, that I didn't know until adulthood, that people were like, you don't know. It had to do with changing a tire or things like that, that other people would take for granted. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I'm trying to say. Other people will take for granted some knowledge that you may not have. And I don't want you to beat yourself up over it. And I like that you bring that up, because I think it's important to be aware and have that conversation. Because I think, in my experience, women, Latina women, we shy away from doing more of those money things because we think, well, we don't know this, or we really don't feel too smart about money.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And listen, don't feel bad about, I mean, even if it's changing a tire, if it's like buying a piece of furniture, or you look, if you don't know, you don't know. And I think
I still don't know sports.
I didn't know how to use my emergency parking brake till 2 years ago. So I need everyone to understand, like, one of the things that I really took to heart, and it didn't hit me until law school. They kind of bang this into your head the first year by cold calling and everything else. If you don't know something, just say you don't know. It doesn't make you lazy, and it doesn't make you stupid. If you sit there and you're like, look, I really tried to do the reading, or I really tried to look this up on Google and I don't quite get it. Here's what I think it means, but I'm not sure. That is okay. Like, you tried, you looked. And that has led me to a great deal of knowledge, just being able to say, like, look, I looked this up, or I saw this thing in a magazine. What does it mean? And that's how I'm learning today, even today.
I love it. Because I think we just need to be open for that. I know, funny story. I mean, my son, my youngest, has been playing baseball for 5 years now. And in 5 years, you would think I would know a lot about baseball. I still don't. I think the first 2 years, I called the innings rounds. How many more rounds do we have? I would be asking. People would be looking at me like crazy. And I'm an intelligent person. I just don't know what I don't know. And they're like, innings. And it took, because it just makes, it made more sense for me to say rounds, because they're
running around the field. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just a common sense, very simple approach type person. So all of those examples for you listening, that it's okay to not know some things, just be open to learning them and move on. It doesn't make you less intelligent or anything, because I know you listening are extremely intelligent and skilled and talented. Now, Gidget, so we've talked about your money story. We've talked about your journey or the eye-opening experience when you went to college. And really, that's when you started learning more about money and the things that you weren't taught as a kid or in high school. So knowing what you know now and what your mentor taught you, what would you say, what is that one financial lesson that the person listening at this very moment would, maybe they're in your same shoes. What is that one lesson that you want to pass on? Financial lesson, I should say.
I would say, if you're working, look at your pay stub, and that's where you begin. Look at your pay stub. Look at the taxes that get taken out. Look at, you know, if it says, for example, 401k or anything like that, whatever it is you see on your pay stub, if you don't know what that means, that's where you begin. You look it up. You look it up on Google. You ask a question. You know, most offices for any organization or even, I don't care if you're like a busser in a restaurant, like it really doesn't matter. You can ask somebody and say, hey, like, what does this mean? What is SSA? Or, well, just social security payments, or, you know, what is all of that? And people will tell you. And if you open your mouth and you ask those questions, that's where you begin. Once you understand that a little better, you're like in a better place to start. If you want to start saving money, which you should, I always advise, I don't care if it's $5, just stick it in a jar somewhere, stick it in the back of your closet and just like put it there. Which some people will tell you not to do that because it's the equivalent of like sticking money under your mattress, but at least you're saving.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what's going to take you to save.
Yeah. You know, just start there. Ask a question. It does not hurt, because the worst anybody can tell you is, I don't know. And then, you know, you're no worse off than you were before.
Right. One of the things that you do, you're also a podcaster. You have a podcast called the Afro Latina Podcast. And this month we've been celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. So as an Afro Latina, what does it mean to you being an Afro Latina? Because when we talk about Hispanic Heritage Month, sometimes we don't really highlight the Afro Latinas. What does it mean to be an Afro Latina?
Honestly, to me, and I understand everyone's different, so y'all listen and just understand, this is my personal definition. To me, that means I come from like two different worlds. My dad was from El Salvador, and my mom is from, the Caribbean Islands. And growing up, I always said I'm Black and Spanish. And so when I get questions where people are like, well, what are you? I'm like, I'm Black and Spanish. And depending on where you go, somebody will look at me and be like, no, you're just Black. I'm like, no. I don't particularly care that I was only raised by my mom and she is Caribbean. My dad is my dad. And I acknowledge that part of my family and I have a relationship with that side of my family, and it is what it is. But to me, it means you come from two different countries and you have that blood in your veins, and it is what it is. Now, I understand, you know, for example, if you're Dominican, there's a little more history there, right? And I did look up the history. There were slaves sold on the Caribbean islands and everything. So like, it is what it is. But for me, that's what it means. And it just means also that like, I walk a very fine line between two different cultures, and I love both. I'm a part of both, and I love and admire and respect both. It has been a very interesting experience for me growing up, because like I said, like as a kid, I didn't think anything of it. I did get teased a lot I was like real yellow as a kid, and I would get called yellow. I would get called light bright. And if you look at my baby pictures, I look super pale, like super pale with jet black hair. And my mom would be holding me. And, you know, if you can imagine this like gorgeous Caribbean woman, this like big fro, lovely nails and lips, chocolate mahogany, you know, kind of skin tone, holding this pale little baby. And we would get looks and stuff. But so, you know, growing up, it has always been for me kind of walking that line. And I will say this, it hasn't always been pleasant. It hasn't always been welcoming. There have been some situations where I, for example, would go to one group or the other to just make friends or say hello or go to an event or something. And I would get looks and sometimes even comments of kind of like, well, why are you here? You know? And it's not always fun. But for the most part, I've been fine, you know, just kind of like integrating for both worlds, I would say.
Right. And then would some people say that, and because you mentioned one parent, your dad's from El Salvador, your mom from the Caribbean. And then would some people say, and I don't know, I'd need to be educated on this, that really an Afro-Latino or an Afro-Latina is someone like, for example, I don't know, let's say in Cartagena, there is a lot of Black and people. So would, because they were born in Colombia and they're Black, are they more Afro-Latino? Is there that discrepancy with some people? Do they say that? Or I'm just exploring here.
So
educate me.
I have heard a little bit of a conversation, not a whole lot, and I'm not an expert on it. So I always say I'm not going to give an opinion, something I'm not totally an expert on. But I have heard some parts of a conversation where it's like, oh, if you, for in that example, if you are a Black person and you were born in Cartagena, then you really truly are an Afro-Latino or an Afro-Latina versus me, like, oh, you just happen to be like Caribbean and Hispanic. Here's what I say to that. We all came over from the same boat.
True.
Okay. Yep. We all got scooped up, put on a boat. I understand the boat made different stops, but the reality is, like, when my mom talks about Brimstone Hill in St. Kitts, and talks about, you know, the history behind that, how slaves were in fact brought there, bought and sold. And I know for a fact that, like, she grew up on an estate. We are descended from, like, different people. You've got all kinds of the mixing pot culture. Listen, it's there. And just because my dad is from Morazon in El Salvador, like, you, okay, he's pale. Like, it just so happened I came out yellow or caramel or something like that. But I think, yes, there is a technical definition of being an Afro-Latino or an Afro-Latina. I was very cautious before, like, integrating that word into my life because, to be truthful, like, I never knew there was a word for me until maybe like 5 years ago.
So, and honestly, I don't think I ever heard that term till about, yeah.
Yeah, I never knew that was a technical term for me. So when people would ask me, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm Black and Hispanic. I'm mixed, Black and Hispanic. I never realized, I never knew that there was a term. And so it's almost like, oh, I have a place I belong kind
right.
of thing.
Right, right. So, it's yeah. interesting. Awesome. Well, let's wrap this conversation up with what I call the Chisme Express. And it's just gossip in a positive and fun, lighthearted way. And I'm going to ask you just 5 quick questions and you just answer quick answers. You ready?
Yes.
So what is your proudest part about being an Afro-Latina? Maybe that's not a quick answer. But
no, you know, I'll make it quick. I get to advocate for both.
Love it.
I get to advocate for both.
And your most favorite Latino celebrity?
Is there any other? Justice Sotomayor.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. And I noticed you're a Marvel fan. So who is your favorite Marvel superhero?
Don't judge me, y'all. It's Deadpool. And he's not even really a superhero. He's a villain, but still.
And your best feature, what would you say is your best feature?
Oh, dang, that's hard. My brain?
Hey, it's perfect.
My brain.
And what would you choose? Laundry or ironing?
Oh, laundry.
I had the same here. Laundry all the way.
Awesome. Don't like to iron.
I detest ironing. I have my husband do it. And plus, he thinks he does it better. So why not?
Yeah, let him do it.
Awesome, awesome. Gidget, this has been fantastic. I really enjoyed my time with you and everything you shared. And I appreciate you being here with us today.
Thank you so much. This has been great.
What did you think about this chat with Gidget? I absolutely adore her as she's very real. She's straight to the point. She is unapologetically herself. And notice that she still has some debt to pay. She's still figuring some things out financially, but she's just doing it. She's just getting to work. So I want you to really think of and reflect about that because sometimes we get into life and we, let's say maybe we are overwhelmed with the debt or where our financial life is at presently, but you just got to do it. You just got to get into action. and press forward. Don't get overwhelmed. And I know that's easier to say than to do, but the more you get into action, the more you're going to see results. And just keep at it. Keep pressing. Be consistent and be unapologetic like Gidget is. To connect with Gidget, you can literally just go to Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook and look for Afro Law, as in lawyer, L-A-W, Dina. So Afro La Dina, with law as in lawyer, podcast. So you just search for that on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I will also have that link in today's show notes so you can connect more with Gidget. As you know, we are taking a break from the Pregunta of the Week this month, so you can get caught up. I want you to get a chance to get caught up with the past month's Pregunta of the Weeks, as there are three freebies, if you haven't gotten them, to grab. That will help you in your relationships, to saving for travel. These were from the different themes in the past months, or to being more strategic with frugality. Now, I'm not always going to be creating these freebies. So when they're available, make sure you answer the Pregunta of the Week and get them, because they are there to help you. They're free resources. And all you have to do is just answer some simple questions and really engage in the podcast, meaning listen to the podcast so you're able to answer the questions. And I'm telling you, the questions are not hard at all. If you're listening to the episode, I know you'll be able to answer the questions. To answer those questions, you do need a free account, but notice it's free. So, hey, that's easy to do. And you can get your free account in the Her Dinero Matters Hub. If you already have a free account, you can simply log into it by going to herdineromattershub.com. If you don't have a free account yet, no worries. You can absolutely get one. And you can simply go to jenhemphill.com/win. And you can sign up from there. So get to it. If you haven't answered those preguntas of the weeks from the past months, get your freebies. Put those freebies into action. Next week, we will be hearing from a new Reina crew that was actually recorded in person at one of my favorite conferences, which is FinCon, which if you have been with me for a while, you've heard me mention FinCon quite a bit, as well as you've probably heard some of the interviews that happened at FinCon in past years. So this was recorded in person, live on site at FinCon. And we will be talking about Hispanic heritage, just to continue on with the celebration. So don't miss it. That is a wrap for today. I want to thank Gidget for joining us, for sharing her story, for being so transparent and vulnerable with everything that she shared. You can check out the brief show notes on where to find Gidget over at jenhemphill.com/188. Also, don't forget, if you love this episode or this podcast, it would mean the absolute world to me if you share it with a friend, family member, coworker, or even a stranger. Nunca se sabe. You never know when someone is in pain in their financial life. Just a sharing of this podcast or episode may be the push or inspiration they need to move forward. Until then, stay consistent on those money actions and habits so you can not only be the reina of your money, but love your dinero more. You've got this. Tú puedes. Nos hablaremos el próximo jueves. I will talk to you next Thursday. Ciao.